Hi, I'm Tammy Greenberg, Senior Vice President, Business Development at the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our latest series comes to you from the 2024 ANA Masters of Marketing Conference in Orlando, Florida, where we ingested 4 full days of content from marketing and brand stewards from leading brands. The conference theme was setting the agenda for growth, and we heard a lot about creating unparalleled consumer engagement with the help from advanced technology like AI. We heard about creativity, a laser focus on what matters most to consumers, and never ever losing sight of humanity as tech continues to expand. RAB had the opportunity to chat with many attendees and speakers about their business, their marketing goals, the issues that they're most focused on, and of course, their thoughts about radio. Pierre Bouvard is Chief Insights Officer at Cumulus Media and Westwood One, and an amazing advocate and leader for radio and for everything that all of us as an industry collectively do every single day. Pierre took a few moments to sit down with Mike Hulvey, RAB's president and CEO, to share his thoughts on what we've collectively heard at the conference and radio's role in driving business for brands.
Radio on Main Street continues from the main hallway here at ANA, and our great friend Pierre Bouvard joins us. But as all of our guests do on this podcast from the ANA, you get to do an official introduction and share with the audience a little bit of your background.
Sure. So I am Chief Insights Officer at Cumulus Media and Westwood One. And what does that mean? That means that I am out telling radio story to national marketers, advertisers, and agencies. We do a lot of publishing, so you can go to our blog at westwoodone.com. In the top right-hand corner, there's a hamburger. Click on that. Then you'll see Audio Active Group, and we publish every week. And we're telling audio stories and case studies. The other part of my job is measurement. So we have advertisers that want to know, how did the campaign do? Did it drive my brand? Did it cause sales effect? Did it drive people to my website? So we will work with third-party measurement companies, commission them to do studies on behalf of our major advertisers. And lastly, we focus a lot on audio creative, testing audio creative, and working with folks who might be new to audio to understand audio creative best practices. So that's a little bit of what we focus on.
We'll get into the ANA in a moment, but first, you know, on behalf of the industry, a thank you to you, because you are a leader in this space. You are someone who, you know, again, if you follow on the weekly basis the content that you share with everyone, at the RAB, we focus on the concept of, you know, this is radio, and what that is how we have evolved through the audio space and all of the different things that we do. And, you know, because I dumb it down to the idea of radio used to be an appliance, Pierre, as you well know, and today we're an 8-lane superhighway. And you look at all of the ways that we tactically connect to the consumer and the listener. It's an exciting time to be in this space because we have so many tools at our disposal. We're not just sitting on the shelf as an appliance. We are so actively engaged in the lives of our listeners in any way and time and place that they are, and that's what excites me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we are constantly reminded of the importance of radio whenever there's a major horrific storm event, that radio ends up being the lifeline and the connection to that local community.
You know, we saw that most recently with the hurricanes that came into the Carolinas and Georgia and Florida, and the second hurricane through Florida, and what heroic actions that were taken by broadcasters in that story in Western Carolina, where literally the radio station staff was trapped at the station, Pierre. And what did they do? They just continued to do their thing, and the community fought to get to them to make sure that they were provisioned and taken care of. You get goosebumps. You get goosebumps with stories like that about our industry.
Right. And that station ended up not only being a great provider of information, but almost being like a barter trade house, where somebody would call and offer, I have this kind of equipment, and somebody says, I would need that. So really, just being the connection of the entire local market.
Can someone go check on Aunt Edna? I mean, literally, that was happening. This is where she's at. Would someone go check on her? A command center, your local. I mean, it doesn't get any more local than that. Okay. ANA, this week here in Orlando. A lot of talk about AI. But with that, Pierre, a lot of talk about the other side of that, and that is the human being and the human connection. What are some of your takeaways?
Yeah, I think one of the messages is that AI can help you be more productive. It can help you do research on behalf of your clients. It can create an ad, like a spec ad. But all of these CMOs made one critical point, is that at the end of the day, you need to build your brand, that you need to create future demand. Mm-hmm. You have to be known before you're needed. And in fact, I think this notion of all I do is sales events is now pivoting to no. Yes, you can have a sale, but you also need to communicate how you make people feel. And that would be with creative that entertains people or puts a lump in their throat. So I think all of the speakers were like, at the end of the day, that's what drives true sales and profit, is creating future demand.
Have we seen a shift or swing from this focus at the bottom of the funnel back towards the top? And this just gets back to your point, but it feels like that was part of the conversation I heard in Las Vegas at NAB, some of those conversations, some of the other conversations that I've had since I've been in this role since was late spring, and certainly to the point here at the ANA that the top of the funnel is important.
So if you think about a local retailer, and if all they do is advertise a sale, they're only appealing at any point in time to about 5% of the market, because about 5% at any point in time are in the market for something. Now, it might be even less, it might be 2%. And so if all you do is shriek about a sale, then 98% of people are going to tune you out because they're not in the market, so they're not listening or caring about your sale. And I think what retailers discover is that all you do is sales events, your business hits a wall, and you get these like sugar rushes of these little spurts of sales around the sales event, but then it drops off. The problem is that if all you do is sales events, those aren't profitable transactions. You're literally doing a promotion, you're doing two for one, or you're heavily discounting. So it is actually, if all you do is sales events, it's like the fastest route to bankruptcy. And what I think there's this realization of, wait a minute, if I become famous in my town, if I become famous and well-known, people will come to me not because of the sale, but because they've heard about me and my ads put a smile on people's faces, or my ads put a lump in people's throat, and I want to come to you because I've heard of you. And those sales are much more profitable because they're regular price. They're not deal, discount, or promotion. And I think big, fancy brand advertisers are realizing that, and I think Main Street advertisers are starting to realize that.
Has that been a shift?
I think there's a shift. I think there really is. I think some of this is language. So you'll have some advertisers say, you know, there's two kinds of advertising, brand advertising and performance. And performance sounds like very business-like and professional and sounds responsible and measurement. And brand sounds expensive and luxurious and foofy. And
is that a technical term?
I don't know, but I just made it there. There's a marketing effectiveness guru out of New Zealand. His name is James Herman, and he rebranded these terms. Okay. And so he has something called converting existing demand. That is truly, hey, someone's in the market, they need a car, we're going to give them a special offer or something like that. So that's like your sales event. But then he has something called creating future demand. And that's about marketing yourself to people that aren't in the market, aren't thinking about your category, aren't even thinking about your brand. And they might come in market in the next year. But what I like about the words creating future demand is that when you hear those words, the retailer goes, oh, well, that is my responsibility. I need to create future demand.
Right.
So instead of this brand building that sounds luxurious and I'll get to it someday, it's like, no, you have to create future demand because someone's going to come in market in a year. And the most powerful search engine in the world is your memory. What are they going to do? They're going to sit down and they're going to go search on the names they know in your category. So if you aren't in there, you've lost. And so every retailer has to put at least 60 to 70% of their money into creating future demand. You could still do your sales events within reason, 20 to 30% of your money, but create that future demand. And the most amazing case study on this is a pest control company in Columbia, Missouri, named Steve's Pest Control.
World famous.
He and his wife started out 30 years ago with one van, and he bought the smallest radio station he could find, bought some ads. Every year, took 8.5% of his revenue, put it into radio, kept at it, grew. He now has over 90 brands. And his creative is funny, it's entertaining, it's not shrieking about a sale. It's just saying, hey, you've got a friend in the pest control business. Mm. And I think the biggest lesson for a local retailer that you can take is be like Steve. Think about being ads that are entertaining, that make the retailer the star of the show, that make the business famous, and be memorable. And don't worry about the sale and all the details of the sale. Just create fame. When you create fame, if people have the need, they'll come. And so many of the categories, you don't know when somebody's going to be in the market. You know, pest control suddenly pops up and we got to do it. So that is, I think, the big lesson is be famous and you'll create future demand.
I love it. By the way, Carla and Carrie in Columbus, or Columbia, and John Zimmer, thank you for the free plug. By the way, Steve's Pest Control, a participant and a winner in the Radio Mercury Awards for the RAB.
Now,
so,
I'll tell you something interesting. We're sitting here at the ANA conference in the exhibit hall, and right up the road here in the exhibit hall is a creative testing company called System One. Mm. They have tested Steve's ad, and it is one of the best testing radio ads in America. In America. And so the notion that, you know, Madison Avenue, I can't afford Madison Avenue, and this is a local retailer that has created ads that are funny and entertaining. We were recently in a presentation with a major national advertiser, and they asked, like, can you show us what good looks like? And they fired up the Steve's ad and showed them the test scores. And, you know, if I said the name of the advertiser, everyone would know who it is. And this local retailer in Columbia, Missouri, has one of the best testing ads in America.
You still love radio. You still love audio.
Absolutely.
When did that love affair begin for you?
So in second grade, first communion, I got a little transistor radio, AM, and I'm just listening to WHDH in Boston. They had a really funny morning show, Jess Kane, and, you know, I was kind of hooked. The high school happened to have a 10-watt radio station. My mom was a college professor. She happened to have a student that worked in local Boston radio. I found myself as an intern at a talk station. My college had a big radio station that happened to be in the Chicago market that led to an Arbitron internship. Mm-hmm. So it's been a pretty constant presence, with the exception of my 4 years of TV purgatory. Radio has really been a constant presence.
Which only made you appreciate radio even more, right?
Yes. And by the way, I did learn some cool things from network TV. And one of the things I learned was that national TV networks buy a lot of studies to help their clients show the impact of their investment. And so that's something I kind of, you know, brought to Westwood One and say, hey, we need to be doing this to prove impact.
You have been a great partner to us, as we said at the beginning of this podcast, and this is radio concept of this curated library where we can share with, and this is what you do on a weekly basis, but now the RAB is working with all of the large companies to make sure that this amazing data is in the hands of local sellers to be able to have conversations and back it up to local advertisers. That just seems to me, in my role and as a broadcaster, just a tremendous step forward. But it's like one step. It's not the end of the race by any matter of means.
No, but what I discovered, you know, coming back to radio 10 years ago, is there wasn't a lot of publicly available case studies and evidence. Certainly there were some, but someone would say, well, do you have home improvement? Do you have a case study for auto aftermarket? And so as we started doing these studies, we realized we should just cloak the advertiser, put a blog out, record a video, an explainer video, and put the slides up. And so if you go to our Audio Actor Group blog, there's a little search box. You can put in, you know, pharmaceutical or furniture or what have you. And more often than not, a case study will pop up with a video and the slides. And we get these reach outs from agencies that say, hey, I'm pitching this brand. I want them to be in radio. Do you have something that you can give me? Now, the problem is when they reach out like that, they don't have a couple of days. So this stuff has to be ready. And so my content partner, Lauren Vetrano, who runs our advertiser measurement and our content, you know, we've basically created 10 years worth of case studies. Because what we realize is you need to put it out there, and you need to make it quickly available, to, you know, when somebody wants to consider radio.
All right. As we wrap up this conversation, tradition that began with Erica, the final two questions of our podcast. To Pierre Bouvard, radio matters because?
Radio matters because it can make you famous. If you're a retailer, you're a charity, you know, you're a national brand, at the end of the day, fame is what creates the biggest growth in sales and profit. And that's what we can do. We can make you famous.
Final question. Radio works because?
Radio works because we have unparalleled reach. We over-index among people in their 20s to their 60s, which are the greatest consumption years. And we elevate the media plan. I don't care what kind of media plan you have and what kind of reach you're getting. If you carve out 10 or 20% and put it into radio, the incremental reach jump will shock you. It'll be stunning. And so we work because we get you people that you couldn't reach anywhere else.
I call that a force multiplier.
Yep, we elevate the media plan.
Yeah, for sure. Pierre, thank you so much.
Thank you.
AI can make you more productive. But what we've heard at the ANA from all CMOs is at the end of the day, you need to build your brand. You need to create future demand. You have to be known before you're needed. Yes, you can have a sale, but you need to communicate how you make people feel as well. Creative that entertains people or puts a lump in their throats. That's what will create more sales and profit at the end of the day, creating future demand. If all a brand does is to shriek about a sale, the majority will tune them out, and then business will drop off. Pierre cited Radio Mercury Awards winner Steve's Pest Control, a local Missouri business that built the business by funny, entertaining brand messaging. The biggest lesson for a local business is be like Steve. Make radio ads that are entertaining, the brand the star of the show. Be memorable and make the business famous. Radio will create fame for brands, and when people have the need, they absolutely will come.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.